Weekend.
You know, most people, if you talk to them, you find out that they have basically two professions or two avocations, or they do two jobs. You ever notice that, Carl?
That's absolutely true.
You know, well, I have a gentleman that I've interviewed recently. His name is Ed Burkeis. Ed Burkeis is a very accomplished artist. He calls himself a cubist.
That is
a modern cubist. But he'll tell you about that. Listen to the recording I just did, and we'll talk about it afterward. How's
please,
that?
Please, let's do that.
You're listening to Creation. It is the sound of an artist's brush on canvas. The artist is Ed Burkeis, a prolific artist from Woodstock, New York. Welcome to Smith Sabatino, Ed.
Well, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Where does your art come from?
A lot of it comes from the inner depths of my mind.
Okay, but what comes into your mind that then wants you to create something on either canvas or paper?
I love to express myself and go into another almost zen-like place to lose myself and just make whatever I think I want to make, and hopefully people will enjoy looking at it and try to find out what it means for them.
There was probably a point in your life when you did not do art.
Well, at a very early age when I was young, I'd say at about 10 or 12 years old, I started really being interested in drawing. I had some ability, and I pursued it in grade school and then high school and then college, but not to the extent that I was going to become a professional artist. So I, really more for myself that I do for my own self. And then whatever comes along the way, that's terrific.
How would you describe your style of art?
My style, I believe, is I'm a born-again cubist. I must have been in a past life a cubist, because I always seem to gravitate to that period of time, those particular Picasso, Braque. Those are my favorite people, Matisse. And that was a period of time when art was really changing to what, in the last 40, 50 years, it's become modern art. A big transition came at that point. It just floated my boat. I loved it.
You study at the Woodstock School of Art?
Correct. I study with my mentor has been Stotz Fosholt, who I've been studying with for over 20 years. And not only is he my teacher and mentor, but he's become a great friend, a very good friend. And we paint together. I've shown with him, which is a great privilege and honor for him to ask me to show with him. He's been around for a long time, showing in the area and selling in the area, and he's collected quite frequently in the area.
Is there something that motivates you when you come into your studio to start a piece of art?
Yes, I find that I want to create from a theme. I need to have some kind of destination, a takeoff point, so I'm not just painting randomly and not having some kind of method to my madness. So I pick a theme. Currently, I'm working on this a puzzle shape theme that I'm incorporating figures and landscapes and trying to create a uniform body of work mm-hmm. that relates in color, shape, size to have a show, which I'm going to have in the first part of next year.
Now, you don't paint, you don't create art, you're not an artist who makes a living at art, is that correct?
No, I do not make a living at art. I'm in the real estate business in Manhattan, and what I do is when I do sell an apartment in Manhattan, I actually give my client a painting, whether it's I paint it to order, paint it to the color scheme that they would like. And it's been just a phenomenal way to reach the customer on a purely different level. They love it. I they don't usually have a garage in Manhattan, so I know a lot of times if I go to their apartment, my paintings are not in their garage. But I've had great joy, and they have too. And when I go back to see them, or if they refer me to somebody, which if somebody goes to their apartment and where do you get that painting? It could be, well, I got it from my realtor. He's a painter, and he this is what he does. So it's been actually my dream to incorporate my business to my art, so I can do it on that kind of basis.
Do you think anybody can be an artist if they so choose?
I think so. I think it's really a mindset that they want to study and try to be free enough in their mind to let themselves be that way. There's a lot of connotation about what is an artist. I mean, there's a lot of controversy right now on Jeff Koons, who is almost the Marcel Duchamp of the current era of using objects, like Duchamp started with the urinal, and Koons is doing these balloon dogs that are giant pieces in stainless steel, just of perfection, that he's selling for. He is the living largest selling artist per piece in the world right now. He's selling his pieces for $50 million and plus to some of the most wealthy people in the world. A lot of people also don't feel that his art is art. But I just read an article about him, and he's 60. He wants to be in good enough shape to when he's 80, so he can still create from now until then. So he's doing a regimen of diet and exercise to really continue. He has a big staff. He's also another one that actually doesn't do the work himself, but he has 100 painters, 50 sculptors on his team, but he oversees everything to the exact precise detail. So there's a little controversy over that with him. I think he's a terrific artist.
I've seen much of your work, and in varying series. You did a horse series. You have the puzzle series going now. Where do you come up with these ideas?
Well, my wife is a horse rider, and we have one horse. We recently lost one horse, unfortunately, to age. But horses have been a big part of our life, my life with her. Mm-hmm. So she loves horses. So I painted horses, and I just painted horses in all different venues. We also have dogs. Every dog that we've ever had over the course of 35 years, I've painted their portrait of their dog. So we have the history of our dogs that we've ever had currently.
Well, you do impressionist kind of creations in your art. You also do very specific portraits. I've seen one that you created of Winston Churchill, which is a pencil drawing.
Yeah, I have an ability to draw what I see. If I have a something in front of me from a photograph or a magazine or something, I can actually look at that and recreate that. But I don't have as much fun doing that as I do with my freestyle, coming up with, you know, making color schemes and lights and darks and inventing art, my own stuff. But I like to do that. That's a good drill. It's a good discipline. It's a good practice for me. And I do that occasionally, too.
You also do commissioned works, correct?
Yeah. If somebody wants to do something and they want to do it, I could come up with a price and do sketches beforehand and do it. I had a customer that bought an apartment from me in Manhattan, and they owned a summer house in Connecticut, and they really wanted a photorealistic watercolor of their summer house. And these folks were so nice, they commissioned me to do it. In the end, I just gave them the piece. I couldn't take any money. They were terrific. I gave it to them on Christmas, and they sent me a video of her. The wife bought it for the husband as a gift for Christmas, but I didn't sell it to her. And they couldn't have been happier.
Hope you come back and visit us at Smith Sabatino again, Ed. This has been an interesting conversation.
Very, very nice. Nice to see you, and hope to see you again.
There you go, Carl. Ed Burkheis, interesting fellow, a real estate broker, very successful in Manhattan, as well as an artist successful in Woodstock, New York.
Let's bring him back, because I do want to talk about Marcel Duchamp and the Surrealist and Cubist period, which is 20th century, mid-1920s, 1930s. Fascinating topic all to itself.
Why does that period, well, we haven't got a lot of time, but I was going to say quickly, why does that period excite you?
It does, because it was a creative period where intellects are able to use their skill and move with it, whether it be in poems, in literature, or in art. Wonderful.
So we should look at the Cubist period and the Impressionist period of that era as it relates to all art.
Without question.
Let's do so.
Creativity, that's what it's about.
All right.
Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as We Are Creative. We're back.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.